Flyers Daily with Jason Mertidis.
All righty, here we go. It is a brand new Flyers Daily for Thursday, February 5th, 2026. Flyers Daily presented by Ticketmaster. Make more memories live. Final game tonight between the Flyers and the Ottawa Senators before the Olympic break, which I guess technically, at least for the Flyers, begins moments after the game concludes this evening at Xfinity Mobile Arena. I'm pretty sure that I will be here for tomorrow's episode. I just don't, at the time of recording here right now, which is what, Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. I'm not sure because I have a procedure on Friday morning. Friday, I should say. I don't know if it's morning yet. They're going to let me know sometime today, Thursday. And if it's very early, I may have to be in prep mode prior to that. So I'm just not sure. So if you see Brian Smith here, I'm okay. I'm just preparing for what is part of my watch and wait protocol after colorectal cancer. And it's not a big deal, but just wanted to let people know. So I always appreciate the notes. And if people don't see me, they sometimes you assume the worst. And I understand why. Flyers Senators tonight. We're going to get to some emails today as well. It's been an interesting week in Flyerland. It's been an interesting week here on Flyers Daily. I think we've had some really good discussions, whether it's about online toxicity and doom scrolling, you know, the team, the rebuild, the all of those things. So we're going to get to some responses from tonight, but I just don't want to like validate everything because I want to move on from it. I want to move forward. I want to make this more of a podcast that's a fountain than a drain. But we will get to a few of them. I will say none of the correspondence I got was that I was wrong or that people enjoyed the toxicity or the doom scrolling. So just keep that in mind. I have no problem reading the other side of the equation ever here on Flyers Daily, even though some people like to take words that I say and really take them out of context. But we're not going to let that happen either. That's just a block on social media and move on at this point. I've had enough. All right, Flyers and Ottawa tonight. Claude Giroux will be in town. These two teams, even though the Flyers have played one less game, are separated by a single point in the standings, both on the outside looking in when it comes to the playoffs. Flyers did not make the playoffs last year. Ottawa did. Ottawa through 56, 27, 22, and 7, 61 points, 5, 3, and 2 in their last 10, lost their last one, plus 6 in goal differential, and 13, 12, and 3 on the road. Flyers through 55, 25, 20, and 10, 60 points. They are minus 12 in goal differential. I think it's heavily consequential. 3, 5, and 2 in their last 10, they won their last one. That was Tuesday against the Caps. What's the state of play when it comes to the playoffs? Well, let's take, this is where the Senators and the Flyers are different. Let's take the wild card out of the equation for the Flyers, because when it comes to the wild card, they're sitting 8 points back with only one game in hand on the Boston Bruins. The Ottawa Senators sit 7 points back with zero games in hand on the Ottawa Senators, but the third place team in their division could also be the wild card team. In Boston right now, it's Buffalo. For the Flyers, the shorter route to the playoffs, and not by a lot, is through the division, where the Islanders sit with 67 points, so 7 points back of the Flyers. But the Flyers have two games in hand. So let's just assume, and this is an assumption that may not be reality. We'll see. The State of Flyers won both of those two games in hand. That would give them 64 points. They'd be 3 points back with the same amount of games played. Unbelievably, the Penguins are 7-1-2 in their last 10. They won their last two. And they've played the same amount of games as the Flyers, and they've now got 68 points. Unbelievable. They're having a phenomenal season. Phenomenal season. And I didn't see it coming. I know a lot of people didn't see it coming. We'll see if it's sustainable as the league will pick back up and the league will get even more condensed as we go through the stretch here. But they've been able to handle it so far. And you would think a team with, I think the second oldest team in the league wouldn't be able to handle it. Got to give the Penguins credit. They've done a very good job. So coming into the game tonight, Flyers-Ottawa. Who's getting it done for the Sens? Well, our old friend Claude Giroux is still there and doing pretty darn well. Claude Giroux, 56 games played. He's got 39 points. You don't expect him as a point-per-game player anymore. Leading them in points is Tim Stützle. 27 goals, 33 assists, 60 points in 56 games, seven of which come on the power play. Dylan Cousins, 56 games, he's got 10 power play goals, 18 on the season, 43 points. They've got Batherson, Sanderson. Obviously, Brady Tkachuk has missed a ton of games. He only played 36, but he's got 36 points. And they're a team that's got some pretty darn good depth, to the Ottawa Senators. And, you know, you see those power play goals from two different players there. You see the seven power play goals from Stützle, seven from Batherson, and 10 from Cousins. You got to assume, right, their power play has got to be ranked as one of the higher power plays in the NHL. A lot of times we see power plays like Edmonton, who's number one, and that's led by basically two guys. That's McDavid and Draisaitl. But Ottawa spreads it around a little bit more. They're 23.2%, and that's eighth in the league. Pretty darn good. Flyers got a power play goal in the last couple of games. It's moved them up to 26th in the league. They're at 16.3% now on the season. PK has been good lately for the Flyers, but still, you don't want to put that team Ottawa on the power play, especially for this final game before the break. You've won your last one, go into the break winning two, and decompress. Use that time to decompress. We'll see if the Flyers indeed are able to do that. So Flyers sends tonight. Either I or Brian Smith will break that down tomorrow. Real quick programming note. Beginning with the break, the Olympic break, on Monday we're going to have Bill Meltzer. It'll be on Mondays with Meltzer. And we're going to go Monday, Wednesday, Friday next week. And Monday, Wednesday, Friday the week after. And then go back to a normal schedule. As you guys know, I have complained up and down publicly six ways to Sunday about the Olympic break, the 20-day break. Disrupting a season, condensing the schedule both in front of and behind, all kinds of ways that I don't like this break. I still believe that. I think it's hurt the quality of the product around the league in a big way. But I will tell you this, I can't wait for it. I want the break. I'm ready for the break. Just to take a break, because it's been you know, it's weird. It's been a fun year. A lot of the year, they were right there. And the struggles of late, that's part of a season. So I'm not oblivious to that or that's going to freak me out. But for some reason, this year just feels heavy to me. Like, I feel heavy right now from it. And a lot of it's the drama, the Mishkov and the, you know, the Tocket thing now, which is really not a thing. But getting caught in this algorithm of the, you know, very upset people that were angry in the beginning of the year when they were winning. Now they're angry because they're losing. Like, the whole thing has been very taxing mentally. I will say this. The social media aspect from it has affected my overall enjoyment. So I got to figure out a way whether I delete Twitter. I don't know. Reset an account. I don't know. But it has at times made you go, like, this is making it not fun. Sports is supposed to be fun. You want your team to win, and I want them to win too, and I want them to get it right. And most of my life, they were, you know, a very good team. And I know that's not everybody's experience. But the incessant negativity, like those people who can't ever find something positive, even when things are great. Like, I in my own head, just say to myself, why are you a fan? If it makes you this miserable, then why? I mean, and this is the people that just repeatedly spam out tweet after tweet after tweet of negativity, conspiracy. Like, is there an enjoyment in that? I'm not sure. Maybe there is for some people. I don't know. I'd love to hear from people that are in that case, is that enjoyable to do that? Is that just the misery loves company, or you love the team so much, you have, that's your therapy? I don't know, but geez, it exhausts me. So let's get to some responses from some of the shows this week. Bob had DM'd me, said, great, Jason, great podcast today. I feel the same way. Fighting with these people and these people, and it's not worth getting aggravated over these fans that are just miserable. They wanted Tockett fired when they were winning because of Mishkov's ice time. And now they're losing, and it's the same response to them. What are they going to do if Mish comes back to last year's form? And are they still going to want the coach fired? God bless. It's a good question. And here's the thing. Here's the answer, Bob. Yes. They'll find something, because they can't not feed off being miserable or being aggravated. And again, I don't understand it, but and frankly, I really don't care to understand it. Let's just leave it there. All right, email comes in from a frequent emailer, John. He says, hey, Jason, can't believe this Mishkov Tockett stuff is actually becoming a thing. A talented, immature guy who came in out of shape, having a sophomore slump while learning a new offensive system under a new head coach, color me shocked. Like, we've talked about it. We've talked about the sophomore slump. Add into that that he lost his father, and he's in a new country for the first time and having a sophomore slump. Yeah, I'm not shocked by it. I would have wanted to see him obviously take a step forward this year, but I'm not shocked that a player with a lot of talent had a good first year and then dipped in the second year. And it doesn't mean he doesn't go to great heights beyond that. He says, fans can be so stupid as well as impatient. And I get the impatience. Like, it's, I can't ask people to be patient at this point. He said, this could be the most important season of Matvey's career. Learning to use his great hockey skills like a great professional is so important. And it has to be done now, in the middle of the rebuild, before the restock, the long-term talent starts arriving. I think so, too. I think these are the most impressionable years for a player. This is when you teach them how to be a winner, not just a productive hockey player. He said, one last quick thing. The newest new complaint by fans is the need for a change in culture with the Flyers. What is your take? I'll be listening as usual. John, I don't know. I haven't seen that one, John. I'm trying to stay off. Is it a change in culture in the room? Is it a change in culture in the organization? That I'll just need some more information on before I guess I can really kind of comment on it. This one comes from Nick. He's, I think he's emailed before as well. He said, just want to take a minute to say thank you for sharing your thoughts about the online toxicity. For me, Flyers and hockey in general is a source of great inspiration. He said, I'm 39, and I developed a true passion for hockey later in life. It's inspired me to get out on the ice myself and get in shape. I'm at the rink 3 times a week practicing my skating, and my goal is to join a beer league team soon. It's helped me mentally as well in many ways. Dude, I think that's awesome. I don't know if you started when you were 39 or you're 39 now, but what, you've obviously started not long ago, so north of 36. I think that's fantastic. You saw a sport, you go, I really like this sport. Let me try it. A lot of people will go, well, hey, I'm 35 years old. I can't start now. What's the point? You didn't do that. So bleep an A. That's awesome. I love that you're in the mix now and on the ice. That is so cool. He said, it's a real bummer that almost every online space regarding the Flyers has been overwhelmed with toxicity. I truly don't understand the desire for negativity. Sure, I'm bummed about the team. I wish they were a bit more competitive. But how can anyone live life just constantly whining about their favorite sports team to that degree? It blows my mind, and it makes spending time in these spaces tedious. I wouldn't use the word tedious. I'd use the word it makes time spending in these spaces miserable. Therefore, I don't go to the spaces anymore. He said, thanks for being a positive space for Flyers fans. Keep up the strong work. And thanks for being a source of inspiration in your own way, Nick. Well, Nick, I'm inspired by you. I think that's awesome that you're on the ice. I am thrilled about that. I think that is so cool that at 39, you're like, you know what? I like this sport. I wish I would have played it as a kid. Well, I'm 39. F it. I'm going to play it anyway. That's badass. I love it. All right, let's get to one more email here. And this one comes from Craig. He says, hey, Jason, you're not wrong on your social media take in sports. It applies to probably all aspects of society, and therefore I doubt it's in total a benefit to the people. It's too often very ugly and divisive. Doesn't lead to civil debate. He said, I gave up on Twitter X a few years ago and quite frankly, ignore more media these days too. Trying to stay more sane. Well, I applaud that. He said, with the continued takeover of AI, the algorithm will only accelerate the brainwashing and manipulation in society. He said, but I greatly appreciate your more pragmatic, less reactionary approach to the Flyers. You don't avoid tough questions, but you don't just overreact to every little thing. Wish you and your wife were going to take a nice Cancun vacation during the Olympic break, but glad you're doing well. Thanks for all you do. Take care, Craig. I would love to get my face into warm sun right now. Craig, I will just disagree with the location, Cancun. And this is nothing against Cancun. This is just the luck that my wife and I had on our honeymoon. So when we got married over 20 years ago, we took our honeymoon at Riviera Maya, Mexico. We flew into Cancun, and Riviera Maya, Mexico is a little bit south of Cancun. On the third day we were there, there was a tropical storm brewing in the Gulf. And when we woke up on the fourth day, that tropical depression had the biggest barometric pressure drop in recorded history to that point since they started measuring that. And it went from a tropical depression to a Category 5 hurricane straight to where we were in Riviera Maya. And we didn't have time to get out. You couldn't get out of the country fast enough. That's how fast it was hitting. So the next morning at 7 o'clock in the morning, I think it was, they shipped us and everybody else off the beach hotel, all inclusive, to a shelter, which was in Cancun. It was an elementary school. And at said elementary school, like we think elementary school here in the Delaware Valley, and you walk out of the classroom into a hallway, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Down there is open air classrooms. You walk out the door of the classroom, you're outside. They don't have windows. They have like vented wooden blinds, but thick wood ones that we had to board up. The bathroom isn't down the hall. It's across the courtyard. And in this classroom with a tile floor, we all were allowed to bring one small bag, our valuables, and a pool mat and sheets. And we slept with 54 other people, 56 people in our classroom for 5 days while a Category 5 hurricane came, got to the eye of the storm, and then tail whipped us on the way out. And we were there another 2 days. Got back to the hotel. It was completely destroyed. And while they were serving us with bottled water, they were cooking our food without purified water because all the purification was on the roofs in Mexico at the time. And they were all destroyed from the Category 5 hurricane. It was a natural disaster. It was huge. It's called Hurricane Wilma. It was right before Katrina. And it just crushed Florida after it hit where we were. And on the second day we were in the shelter, they ran out of food. They thought we were only going to be there a day. And the only Spanish or Mexican I remember being able to speak is La comida esta noche. Food tonight. Will we have food tonight? And it was kind of, we'll see. A couple of those days, we ate literally maybe split a peanut butter and jelly sandwich the whole day between each, me and my wife. So I want sun. I want to go somewhere different, even though it's not hurricane season anymore. But you can't book my honeymoon, people. But I guess, hey, when you get married, you want to know that the person you married, if the you-know-what hits the fan, that they're going to be able to handle it. And before I got married, I would have said, you and your now wife are going to be in that situation, how do you think she'll handle it? I would go, I don't think she's going to handle it well. She was great. And we met some lifelong friends that we were in that room with and slept on the pool mats with. We almost strangled a guy because he would snore so loud nobody else could sleep. But looking back on it, yeah, it sucks. Our honeymoon was ruined. But it was kind of the adventure of a lifetime that's kicked off 20 years with my wife. So not going to go back to Cancun. but I would like to go to somewhere warm. But that's not in the cards this year. So, but I appreciate the note and the sentiment for sure. All right, Flyers Senators tonight. We'll break it down tomorrow. Join us then on a brand new Flyers Daily.